Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Only Stupid Answers. This is the show, the only show that likes to talk about movies, TV shows, comic books, what ifs. We got an episode on Netflix coming up. Stay tuned for that. All of the things. But this week, we are talking about Marvel's new animated series, What If. My name is DJ Woldridge, and with me today is a very special guest. Sal, say hi to the kids at home. Say hi.
Hey, what up?
For those that don't know who are you, where can they find you, what are you up to that they should be looking out for?
Well, thank you for the introduction, DJ. I'm happy to be here. Big fan of the show. Love it. Love all of you guys out there with your moist little ears.
Deep cut.
Made a reference. Get it? But yeah, I'm Sal. I'm from a YouTube channel called Comic Pop. I'm also available on the other channel we created for our live shows called Comic Pop Returns, which other people in the spectrum have mentioned, you know, maybe we should create a third channel called Comic Pop Forever and then Comic Pop and Robin.
Yes.
But that's when the Comic Pop Empire has gone Schumacherian.
Yes.
And we'll wait until that happens. Mm-hmm. But for now, I remain Sal from Comic Pop, and you can find me in all those different places. We talk about comics. We get into the nitty gritty when it comes to trade paperbacks and epic stories of new and old, trying to appeal to both new and old readers alike, people who are not even only a tinge of interest in comic books, and everybody who is like available, who's so whose lifeblood flows with the three colors.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man. So thank you for having me,
dude.
I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, and I got to be on your show when I was promoting Hellbent, and that was a blast. So it's really cool to have.
Congratulations,
you.
By the way.
Thank you. Yes. Now it's just about fulfilling those orders. Which, by the way. Yeah, as of this episode, people look for your inboxes. We're sending out the backer surveys through BackerKit, so keep your peepers peeled on that. And also, if you missed it, if you're like, oh my God, I missed it, you can go to hellbentcomicbook.com, click the pre-order link, and you can pre-order it through BackerKit. So that's
nice.
The perfect segue. We didn't even plan that, but oh my God.
So synergy, man.
Of course, you guys are listening to this podcast, so you know where you iTunes, all that stuff, iHeartRadio, all that. But if you listen to it on Spotify, we ask a question every week that you can answer on Spotify. And Ray, and last week's question was, what character from another franchise would you like to see on the Suicide Squad? Ray Rafael Alvarez said, Gray from Upgrade, Hutch from Nobody, Lorraine from Atomic Blonde, John Wick, Michael J. White, and as literally anyone, and Okja. Led by Judge Dredd, they fight the boy from Brightburn. I love Dredd. That's one of my favorite comic book movies. not Judge Dredd, important distinction, Dredd.
Dredd.
And then Xavier Thomas said, how about Chris Farley's character from Beverly Hills Ninja? Seems like a perfect fit if you ask me. And then he asked, when is Hellbent coming out? It's coming to you in November. It says on the thing.
that's like no time whatsoever, man.
Yeah, it's coming. I'm so working exciting. Hard. We just finished the interior, the inks. We're getting it lettered and colored now, and it's just gonna be shipping out to your door in no time at all.
Oh, yeah.
But listen, man, we like to start every episode with what we're into this week.
Yes.
Is there something you were into that you would like to share with the class today?
Oh boy, there's so much to pick from, but I'm going to highlight a series that has just concluded just about 2 weeks ago, but maybe more at the time of this recording. But that is Daniel Warren Johnson's Beta Ray Bill series.
So good. Oh my God, so good.
Five issue miniseries, all written and drawn by Daniel Warren Johnson, who, if you're not familiar, is a titan. In the comic book industry, has been drawing some epic, crazy stuff from Murder Falcon to Wonder Woman Dead Earth. Yeah. Incredible stuff. And he's given a chance to just go nuts in the Marvel universe with, for most folks, affectionately referred to as Horse Thor.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite characters today as a result of the D-Dubs treatment.
Yes.
And let me tell you, dude, so many deep cuts, so many great references. He watches the movie Hook on his sentient ship Scuttlebutt. There are so many different amazing like sci-fi metal wrestling references throughout this series. It is a sight to behold, and as I understand it, didn't sell great. And
you're kidding me.
I'm not, and it's only been hinted at because somebody mentioned, you know, when are we going to get a sequel, and D-Dub said I wouldn't plan on it. And
because it doesn't end on a cliffhanger, but it definitely ends at a place where there's room for more.
Absolutely. You could pick Bill up and drop him anywhere, and this is a great jumping on point for the character and a terrific launching pad for the character in the future. My hope is that there will be some kind of oversized edition, because Johnson's art needs that kind of like immersive, oversized book that you can only get from something like, say, Silver Surfer Black, which, if you haven't picked that up,
also great.
Tradmore's amazing art only should be viewed in like larger than life format. There's a book called now it's called Thor and Loki Blood and Thunder, which was actually a readaptation of a miniseries from Rob Rohde called Loki. And it was drawn by Asad Ribic, and that came out this big oversized edition. It's just beautiful Ribic art, and that this book deserves no less of a treatment. So I'm hoping maybe if we get some eyes on it, you know, maybe the trade sales will be good enough where they're like, oh, maybe we'll just have Johnson do like an OGN or something. Just go ham on something like that.
I would love that so much. We had Daniel Warren Johnson on the show. He's lovely. It was great having him on the show. So talented. I would argue, if not the, at least one of the best artists working today.
Yeah.
I think we're getting a Murder Falcon sequel, which I'm very, very excited about. I'm hoping, well, one, it would have been great if it sold better, so I wouldn't have to hope these things, but I'm still kind of waiting. You know, I don't know about you. I'm assuming, caught up on Loki, the show.
Oh, yeah.
So once you see something, you know, you start thinking, obviously there's a season two, and you're just thinking about what you want to see. We got that tease of Throg, and it's like, yeah, let's start busting out. We got a lot of Loki variants. Let's start busting out the Thor variants. Let's get Throg in there.
Yes.
And I've started wondering, we've got Thor Love and Thunder coming out. We're going to get a version of Jane Foster's Thor, however they decide to adapt that. And I can't help but wonder, like, okay, so real talk, when are we getting Better A-Bill? Like,
right.
when is it going to be Loki? Is it going to be a Thor sequel? Where do I have to look out for this guy? And maybe once that happens, maybe they'll be like, well, I guess let's try this again.
Right. Well, and because they had D-Dubs do this 5-issue miniseries, it's like, this is the perfect Beta Ray Bill jumping on point for anybody. So when he shows up in the movie, you can just reprint this book, make it nice and big, and everybody will love this character. Which isn't to diminish anybody else's contributions to that character. Walter Simon is, of course, who helped invent the character. Yeah. His work is unparalleled. But I'm expecting, I feel like YTT needs to be the guy to introduce us to Beta Ray Bill, just because he has kind of like a blank check at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, he's curried so much good favor from everybody from the last Thor movie that this next one, obviously, we're going to get a bunch of fun deep cuts. I'm hopeful that Horse Thor is one of them.
Yeah, because I've had a long-standing love for Beta Ray Bill, to the point where I remember there was a very brief Silver Surfer animated series.
Yeah.
Of which Beta Ray Bill showed up in. And even though I didn't really watch that animated series, I did get the Beta Ray Bill action figure. And I think it might still be in a storage container somewhere. I want to, the miniseries reignited my love for the character. And yeah, I would like to, and now you talked about that, they rebranded it, this collection, as Thor and Loki. It's like, could we get, after Thor Love and Thunder, like with the Loki series and the success of that, like a Thor Loki movie? Like,
I mean, we basically get that every movie, right? You know, they were like, well, you know, Tom Hiddleston auditions to be Thor. He doesn't get it. Oh, do you want to be Loki? And then he just steals the show. And then every Thor movie is just every Thor movie, and maybe one or two Avengers movies can also have Loki in them.
Mm-hmm.
They can't stop. So yeah, please. We'll take it. We'll watch it. There's no way we won't. Yeah. Hell, even if Hemsworth doesn't want to do it anymore, if like the rumors are to be believed and Portman takes over as Thor, watching Tom Hiddleston and Natalie Portman be Thor and Loki, I'm in.
I'm interested to think, we're going off on tangents now, but I'm interested. People have started suggesting that Natalie Portman might end up being a variant. And I find that, based off the Loki stuff, interesting, because they don't have the, and they can do whatever they want, but the MCU does not have the infrastructure right now to introduce Jane Foster as Thor, because there's no Donald Blake. Was kind of like the Donald Blake picks up the hammer, becomes Thor. Is Donald Blake Thor? Don't worry about that.
It's complicated. Yeah, well,
it's kind of like the whole Billy Bats and Shazam thing. I'm glad the Shazam movie just decided, like, no, it's the same dude just in a grown up body, and we're going to move on as opposed
keeps to clean.
Yeah, are they different people? Like, I think Donnie Cates did interesting stuff with that with Donald Blake in the comic, but like, yeah, there's no reason to get into any of that mess in the MCU. But that's the point. So it's not like when Cap picked up Thor's hammer in Endgame that he became Thor. He was just Cap with the hammer. So I'm interested to see how they're gonna figure
square
this
that
out.
Circle. Yeah, it's gonna take some doing. I don't expect it to be a variant. I think it's just gonna be Jane Foster picks up Mjolnir, and I guess maybe they'll do the cancer plot. I don't know.
Yeah, that's cool. But it's just like, but Thor's a name. It's not a tie. It's not as. It's not Captain America or Iron Man. It's the dude's
that's
name.
Who he is. Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah.
I can't wait.
Well, it's interesting. Speaking of Taika Waititi, I wanted to talk about Reservation Dogs, which is a new FX series, which was co-created by Taika Waititi. With Sterling Harjo. I'm so sorry. I'm going to list some of the actors' names as well. I'm probably going to mess them up because of my stupid white boy mouth. So I apologize for that. But basically, the series follows four indigenous teenagers in rural Oklahoma. And the synopsis here is they spend their days committing crime and fighting it. And it is delightful. The trailer got me really excited because when I first heard about this, for some reason, I thought it was going to follow indigenous people in New Zealand because Taika Waititi, like, I just kind of assumed that that's what we were doing. And so it's in Oklahoma. It's in America. It's very American. And this is such a – this is a perfect vehicle for an FX series because it's not something we've spent a lot of American media has spent a lot of time in. And it is also, even though Taika didn't direct the first episode, the first two episodes have dropped as of this recording. I've only watched the first one. He did not direct it. It very much fits within what I would argue is his best work, like Hunt for the Wilder People. Obviously, What We Do in the Shadows is more genre heightened, but it's still very like it. What makes What We Do in the Shadows work is its slice of life within this horror movie vampire context. And so I think it fits very well within that. Like, we're just following people through their lives, that it's sometimes funny, it's sometimes sad. It's just a lot of different things going on. And it is funny, but it's the humor's more dry, and I loved it. It plays with some certain like tropes we're used to seeing in American media of like the spirit quest or whatever. Like one of the main kids gets knocked out, and he imagines talking with a forgotten Native American war, and it's fucking hilarious. It's so great. The lead cast is Devery Jacobs, DeFerro Woon Ah Tai, again, sorry, Lane Factor, Paulina Alexis. All the kids are great. Zane McLarnon plays Officer Big, and you might recognize him from Dr. Sleep. He was also in the Fargo TV series. Ooh. He's been in a bunch of stuff, and he's fantastic. He's so good. Anyway, cast is great. It's hilarious. It's something we haven't seen before, which I love seeing. Like within these like fictionalized narratives, dropping in on people's lived experiences that we're not used to seeing.
Yeah,
I find it super rewarding. And FX has such a great track record with shows. Period. But also shows like this. I'm excited to spend more time with it. And it's cool that, like, you know, my wife and I just finished watching What We Do, caught up. Obviously, there's a new season coming. What We Do in the Shadows, the TV show. We've started watching Wellington Paranormal, which, for those that don't know, in What We Do in the Shadows, the movie, these two oblivious cops shows up. This is a spinoff of them dealing with other paranormal stuff and being equally oblivious about that.
That's awesome.
And so as much as I love like Thor Ragnarok and like what Taika Waititi's doing, that stuff, these things, I'm very impressed with his ability to spin off these ideas or capitalize on the success he has to create these more like either with like What We Do in the Shadows and Wellington Paranormal, like comedic visions, or with this kind of like more personal grounded stuff. It's cool shit. If you haven't checked it out, check it out. Do yourself a favor. Give it some love and check it out. That's what I'm into this week.
Nice, nice. Yeah. I only heard the title. I have not known anything about this. I've just been kind of like, did somebody misspell Reservoir Dogs? Mm-hmm. Like, I literally have, it's not been on my radar. I've just seen it referenced, but now I'm sold. I'm definitely going to check this out.
Yeah, like I said, the first two episodes are out, so just give at least the first one a try. And I was similar. Yeah. I was a little it is a spin on Reservoir Dogs, but it's also like feral dogs that aren't in reservations are called res dogs, which I didn't know until I was watching this. And so it is a little hard to talk about because I do find myself wanting to say Reservoir Dogs. And it's like, that's not what this is. But yeah, it's great. It's the cast is good and they do a good job of like, cause when we start, the four kids are like petty thieves, doing petty thief bullshit. And personally, at least in my own work and work that I enjoy, I fight the need to make people too likable. I feel like, especially when you talk about like, especially like the Loki show, like trying to do backflips to undo the fact that Loki's murdered a bunch of people. Like, you know what I mean?
It's a lot of work.
And it's like, sometimes you just need to let people, it's catch 22. Cause on the one hand, you want it to be realistic. You want people to be too likable. But then if you have a show like Breaking Bad, where everybody involved in the show understands like, hey, Walter White's the bad guy, but then you get audience members that are like, yeah, Walt's right. You do you, Walt. It's like, no, that's not the point of the show, man. That's not the point.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a catch-22. But anyway, they do interesting things of where they lean into the fact that at the beginning of the show, these kids are like petty thieves, but they're kids, they're teenagers, so they're trying to figure out who they are. The reasons they are doing that are, I think, 100% valid. But they wrestle with that, and I think that adds some interesting dramatic tension. And it is interesting because at the same time, and I'm not talking about it yet because I haven't finished it, but I've been watching White Lotus on HBO.
Okay.
Which has a few, this is more like rich white people going on vacationing in Hawaii. There's a few teenage characters and they're just the fucking worst. They're the fucking worst. Because like, let's be honest, teenagers suck. You know, they're able to start doing, they have the independence of like adults, but they still have kid brains. And so they're they're the worst of both worlds.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so Reservation Dogs is like the flip side of that, where it's like, I get why these kids are doing what they're doing, and they're figuring it out. They're trying to be like, well, should we? They make really interesting decisions with all that, and I'm very excited to see where it goes. And again, like, it's such a reservations, the indigenous community is such a core part of our country that media never talks about, not once. Like, you and I are probably the Scalped, the Jason Aaron comic. What I mean? Like, and that's kind of it. Like, that's right. It.
Yeah.
Like,
what's the influence on pop culture? Non-existent, or virtually non, or it's niche, or it's,
they'll show up in westerns really as the bad guy, or if it's a revisionist western, as they like, literally, if you watched Jungle Cruise, the bit with the indigenous people in Jungle Cruise is literally the same exact bit as the Maverick movie with Mel Gibson in the 90s. Like, it's the same kind of joke. Like, and so it's that. It's and so taking a moment and to spend times in this community, another show that I think spent some time with it, but I think show I love could have done better with this is Banshee. Had a Native American community, indigenous community as part of its plot. Anyway. That's it. Check out Reservoir Dogs.
Reservation.
We knew it was going to happen. We knew it was going to happen. It was a matter of time. But listen, that's not why you kids are here today. You're not here to talk about these Better Ray Bill or Reservation Dogs. Although you should do yourself a favor and check both those things out. Go buy Better Ray Bill so we can get more of it. Oh my God. I want to see him use Twilight. Anyway. Yeah. Now, let's talk about, let's get into the meat and potatoes. We're going to be talking about What If. So, Sal, as of the now times of us recording it, you have watched episode one, which is just
aired. I only have access to the first one. It's one of those things.
It's one of those things. Listen, so and so we're going to focus our conversation on episode one, season one, episode one, What If. Captain Carter were the first Avenger. Synopsis is, when Steve Rogers is seriously injured, Peggy Carter becomes the world's first super soldier. This episode was written by A.C. Bradley and Brian Andrews.
Yep.
Now, as of right now, on Rotten Tomatoes, What If has 89% with a synopsis, a critics' consensus of What If may not add much to the larger MCU narrative, but surprising takes on beloved characters and some of the best action sequences in the entire franchise make for engaging viewing. And so for those that don't know, I don't know who you would be at this point, because right. how much they've marketed this, but basically this is an adaptation of the What If line of Marvel Comics, where it's like, what if Spider-Man was part of the Fantastic Four? Or yes. what if so-and-so was Punisher? There's like 50 billion of what if so-and-so was the Punisher.
That's true.
And using that within the MCU framework, which again, so this first episode is Captain Carter. I've had the opportunity to see the next two episodes. I will touch on those spoiler-free very briefly, but let's start with this one with Captain Carter. Sal, what did you think about this episode?
I didn't know what to think when it first started. I was very hyped by the poster and by promotional images. The animation from the teasers looked a little confusing, or at the very least dicey. You know, it's kind of like, oh, what is it going to be? Is it going to be like a Telltale game? Is it going to be kind of cel shaded? Is that what we're getting? And despite any reservations, you know, went in with kind of optimism, or at the very least you know, an open mind, and I was pleasantly surprised. I loved this first episode. I think this first episode ends up being basically a movie.
Yes,
it's not quite a show, because it's not really delivering on any television tropes or principles. It's just, what if Captain America starred Peggy Carter instead? Mm-hmm. And we only had 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And so it's just Captain America, the best beats, but we pulled the thread of Steve doesn't become Captain America. Instead, Peggy becomes Captain Carter, which, by the way, not Captain Britain. You have Captain Britain. Mm-hmm. You're not going to use
Captain,
it.
You have Captain Britain. Listen, this is a U.S. show. We're not going to give Britain that much airtime on
that. It's weird. It's like, what, do you have plans for Captain Britain? Mm-hmm. Do you have plans for Union Jack? You're not going to use that name? All right, fine.
Yeah.
All that notwithstanding, Captain Carter, I loved it. I just, I was, it has the same kind of spirit and fun of that movie, which I thought was kind of impressive. Like, and I don't know if that's trying to just approximate the feel of Captain America, the First Avenger, the movie, or if each episode will be kind of a, I don't even know what the show really is going to be. Like, is the next episode going to be another What If movie? Is it going to be another, like, it's Iron Man, but 30 minutes shorter and this happens? Or
I can help you with that a little bit.
Okay, cool. Well, yeah, I would appreciate any lifeline, because I'm really excited, because I'm excited, and I'm not in any way disappointed, annoyed, or not looking forward to more. Loved it. My short version.
So when I went in, very excited when I got the email with the screeners, and I watched the first episode, and I was so stoked for the show, just because it felt like all bets are off. You can do whatever. I think animation as a medium is a really great medium, which, by the way, they use it really well. I was I had similar concerns of you, because certain way they edited certain things, like it felt like the voice work didn't quite match the animation acting, and I was like, you know, MCU proper has never really done animation before, but like action sequences, like when Peggy rides up Steve's Hydra Stomper into the sky and is jumping from plane to plane, taking people out, like, this is rad. This is really cool.
It is. There's like little, it does that thing that a lived in universe should do, where they have little moments that make it real. And there's like a riding handle on the Hydra Stomper just for her to be able to grab on.
Yep.
And I'm like, this is cool. They thought about this. They cared about it. You know, Steve kind of doing his own little ownership of the suit and like writing on it. We don't really quite get into, he doesn't like paint on it, because he is an artist, but you know, it's still pretty cool. Like a lot of it just owns and represents the characters in a way where, even though it's a universe we don't know, it's characters we're familiar with, and no one is betrayed. Yeah. No one is like weird or out of character. It's what Steve would do in this situation. It's what Peggy would do in this situation.
And I actually feel like this is a benefit, this version of what it has over the comics, because I think, like, especially by the time, you know, by the now, when you say, like, what if, like, go back to one of the original iconic what ifs. What if Spider-Man was on the Fantastic Four?
Yeah.
It happened. He was. It's at this right. point it's happened. It's not like what could you do. They're doing some interesting stuff right now. I know they're doing the what if Spider Shadow, where what yes. if Spider-Man had kept the symbiote. Mm-hmm. I want to say,
which we've seen, but like
again, yeah, and with I want to say the Life Story comics are doing, like Fantastic Four Life Story and
yeah.
Spider-Man Life Story are technically part of that what if, that new what if brand.
They're more or less, you know, they're definitely taking that concept. There, I would say that Life Story, that brand, is more like an Elseworlds type thing.
Yeah. By the way, anybody, I highly recommend Mark Russell, both Life Story, but I've been reading
oh, yeah.
Mark Russell's Fantastic Four Life Story. Really great.
Yes. Yeah.
So with the comics, it's the MCU is. Its continuity is much more concrete. It's much yes. more set in stone. Obviously, there's, you know, wonky stuff like the 8 years later in Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh,
and
my God.
You know what I mean? There's threads to pull on, but it's not the same. It's much tighter, much, much more recognizable. And so yeah. I think it's easier to do because Steve has such a consistent characterization within however many movies he's been in.
Yeah.
It's easier to jump off of him for audiences to understand. Because I think you're right. I think everybody behaves the way you would expect them to in this situation. And I think this was a smart one to start off of because it spins off of, one, Peggy Carter is one of the best characters they have. Her
yeah.
show is one of the it doesn't really... I don't think it's in continuity. I mean, like,
you know,
Jarvis
what?
Shows up in the Russos were a part of the show, so like, who knows? But
yeah.
like, that show was one of the best things
of those shows. Show spinoffs. Yeah. Yeah, big time.
And so there's a lot to work with. And of course, like, there's a passing similarity to Wonder Woman, even though Wonder Woman's World War One, this is World War Two.
Yeah.
So I think all of that works in his favor. I will say, when I finished the episode, as enjoyable as it was, as cool as it was to see how much better being Captain America Peggy Carter would be than Steve Rogers.
Right.
just
she
wait.
Is immediately capable. Like,
yeah.
she can fight. She's like jumping from plane to plane. We don't see Steve do that. He nope. barely manages to get on one plane. It's good stuff. I'm not, mm-hmm. and it doesn't diminish Steve in any way, but like, Peggy's a soldier. She's had some kind of training. Mm-hmm. Steve, I don't think he's had anything outside of the basic that he experiences as a string bean in the like montage.
Yes.
So, you know, I buy it
yeah.
and I'm okay with it. And it was fun to see like a really immediately capable Captain America or Captain Carter, who's
yeah.
just like, I'm into it. Who's enjoying it. She's like,
yeah.
I like it. I like
yeah.
this. This is cool.
It gets
like, yes.
Gets the Tesseract before Red Skull can do jack shit
oh,
with
my God.
It. Yeah.
Genius.
So, I liked all that. I was a little bit like, again, because it felt like you mentioned before, like a movie condensed to 30
yeah.
minutes. It felt like a clip show. It felt like, hey, remember
right.
this scene? Well, now it's this way. and
yeah.
it just made me worried about the series as a whole, because it's like, I like this concept. I like these actors. I'm glad that we got Hayley Atwell back to play Peggy Carter.
Yeah.
The cast in this is stacked. Obviously, Chris Evans isn't showing back up as Captain America. But
Cap.
We've got Dominic Cooper's Howard Stark, Sebastian Stan as Bucky Barnes, Stanley Tucci's
yep.
Dr. Erskine, which does even, I don't even remember him saying a line in it. I wonder if they like,
oh yeah, he does. He speaks when they're at the,
yeah.
Did you need the changing sequence.
Did you need to spend Stanley Tucci money to get him back for that line? Whatever.
I don't know. Maybe like, if I have an opportunity to give Stanley Tucci money, I'm going to take it.
Yeah.
Because that dude deserves it.
Fair. Like, Toby Jones shows back up as Arnim Zola. And of course, Jeffrey Wright as the Watcher, who is
yeah.
great. And who,
yes.
by the way, really would love to see in one of these movies.
Me too. Underutilized. I was hoping, because I love Uatu. I want to see more of him.
Yeah.
I was so hyped to see Jeffrey Wright cast. And I was kind of like, I can't wait to see this big baby-headed dude show up in these shows. And he narrates them, and he's
yeah.
like alluded to, and he's more shadowy, you know. But I'm like, he better have a base on the moon. He better
mm-hmm.
be physically there, who's like, what up? I'm looking.
I'm hoping that whenever I don't know if they're planning on doing any big of it. I know we've got Secret Invasion coming to Disney Plus, but I
yes.
was kind of bummed that in neither Infinity War or Endgame Uatu showed up. Because for me as a kid, that was like, oh, shit's real. Like when Uatu shows up,
off.
Like you're getting ready. Okay, everybody, here's our game plan. And then you look over your shoulder and Uatu's there. You're like, oh no.
Oh no. Yes.
This is going to go so bad.
I love those moments. And I miss them. I miss them in the comics. I miss them. And I would love to see them in this. Yeah. For me, I love that he actually sells the whole marching orders where he's like, I can't interfere. I won't interfere. Wink. That's what I do. And I'm like, oh my God, I hope that this show, he doesn't interfere. Like, I hope that in no way does he interfere so that we can preserve it when Fantastic Four does inevitably show up.
Yeah.
And he does what he does with Galactus.
Yeah, like, that would be really cool. Is if we are building up to, obviously we're getting a Fantastic Four movie. It'd be cool if they build up to the classic Silver Surfer Galactus story and use Uatu in that, because that would be really dope. And you've got Jeffrey Wright. You know, they're not like honestly, I would be genuinely shocked if Haley Atwell does not show up as Captain Carter in like Multiverse of Madness.
I think we're getting. I think this could very very possibly be an opportunity for Marvel to go, we never really have, like, because there was nearly no good place to put Peggy Carter in the shows outside of flashbacks, you know, hallucinations and satisfying conclusions.
Yes.
But now that we are like in a post Chris Evans Marvel, we could just have her fall into the regular universe. We don't have Chadwick Boseman. We could be, and they love Michael B. Jordan. If the trailer is to be believed, a good guy Killmonger falling into the main universe solves a lot of problems for people.
Yeah, I do think, like, I've thought something, not that, that's actually a really great point, but, like, I was kind of thinking, like, which is, and we'll talk a little bit about Chadwick Boseman more later, but, like, obviously so tragic, and it's like, but Ryan Coogler obviously has a great rapport with Michael B. Jordan. Everybody loves Michael B. Jordan. And so I was just thinking, before all this, now we have all this multiverse stuff, but before, like, Black Panther 2, wait, why is Killmonger here? You know, when Hulk snapped, he brought extra people. Who gives a shit?
Bonus people.
Yeah, bonus people. Yeah. Who gives a shit? We're moving on. Or just say, like, you know, when Killmonger's like, let me die, T'Challa's like, eh, fuck that. And he put him in.
More loyal to Killmonger, Dora Milaje took his body, put him in a rejuvenation in a heart-shaped chamber. Whatever you need to do.
Yeah, I'm interested in the idea of Letitia Wright as Black Panther. I do think where her character is at the end of Black Panther, it wouldn't feel in character for her to be like, I'm Black Panther now.
You know,
so we need to like get her there, I think. But also, if you just make Michael B. Jordan Black Panther, I feel like that might be pretty cool too. Also,
totally.
I'm also a big fan of the White Tiger that was part of Christopher Priest's run.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. She'd be awesome.
Casper Cole, Cole version.
She'd be great just in a movie anyway.
So when I watched this episode, little worried that it was just going to be a glorified clip show every week of like, hey, here's this movie you already know, but with scenes that are slightly different.
Right. We're going to resell you Cap 1.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's like, yeah, but I already like... Anyway, fortunately, the next two episodes, not that at all. To the point...
Okay,
To the point where they do absolutely what I wanted from this. It's like, you should pick a moment within this alternate universe that it's its own complete 20-minute story and tell that story. And it wasn't until after I watched those three episodes that I was like, oh, DJ, you fucking idiot, they feel the need to sell this idea to people. And so like you and I, we've been reading these comics, and you know, every even stuff that's in the same continuity, it's like, how often in Brian Bendis's Superman run did he reference Barry Allen and you knew what he meant was Wally West? Like, he's
yes,
you know what I mean? It's like you're confusing your flashes. Anyway, and so this is like, hey, this episode's more like, hey, see, you change this one thing, and then this changes this, and this changes this, and this changes this.
Yeah.
Cool. Great. Now we're off to the races, because the next two episodes are self-contained stories, and they're both really great, and they really sell the concept really well. I actually think Quick Wit in our Discord, we had the question, Quick, does the show go further than simply switching out characters in certain situations? It 100% does. Which I was a concern I had too, because the trailers were very much like, hey, what if T'Challa was Star-Lord? What if Agent Carter was Captain Carter? What if Gamora was Thanos? And it's like, okay, but you can do other what ifs other than this character is now this character kind of a thing. But before we leave this episode, things I liked, obviously you mentioned the Hydra Stomper. We talked about her. She gets the Tesseract immediately. Yep. We have the Hydra Stomper, which is great. That's some great like flashpoint stuff where like now Thomas Wayne is Batman. And this is the stuff you eat up when you're like, how is this Age of Apocalypse? Like Wolverine doesn't have a hand now. And we're just like off to the races.
Totally.
And I love that like they Red Skull pivots and was like, I'm going to do more occult bullshit and try and like summon a squid monster. Little bum that I was kind of like, wait, are we going to get Shumagora? Are we going to like
commit? I think it's Shumagora. No, it's got to be Shumagora, right? Because number one, Doctor Strange features heavily in this. Yeah. Number two, rumors abound that Shumagora will be in the Multiverse of Madness. Number three, it's Shumagora. Mm-hmm. You have a tentacle monster. He's got a name. Put him in here. Please make it Shumagora. I hear you. My wife was the same way. She was like, there's no way that's Shumagora. I'm like, it has to be Shumagora because it'd be too rad if it was.
Yeah, and I think the only thing I feel like the Shumagora have little octopus stickies on his tendrils.
I think so. I mean, you know, if you play him in the Marvel versus Capcom games.
See, there you go. I think that would be really cool, even if it's not. And you know what? It can be for us. It can be whoever we want it to be.
Yeah, that's true.
Listen, we all willed into existence the little kid in the Iron Man mask being Peter Parker. And it's canon now because there's something.
Sure.
But I liked that use of it. I thought it was a great way to have Peggy kind of have her own arc like Steve, where she ends up lost in time. And this is something I will say for all the episodes and the way the show has been set up is even though this was easily, I enjoyed it, but it was easily my least favorite of the three. I would still love to spend more time in this world. I'd love to see more, you know, like what does the future look like with Captain Carter? What is like each, like you said, the little touches like having her be able to grab onto the back of the Hydra Stomper. There's little lived in elements of like, I'd want to see what happened with Bucky. Did he just get old and die? Or does he, is there a new version of the Winter Soldier? Like I'd love to spend more time in each of these worlds.
Oh yeah. Quick shout out, by the way, I just also want to point out at first, there's a new character in this show or this movie or whatever for Colonel John Flynn, who is like the antagonist, and it's like he's occupying the Tommy Lee Jones role, but it's not the same character, and it's played by Bradley Whitford, and I'm like, is that the dude from Billy Madison and Cabin in the Woods and West Wing and everything? And it's like, yeah, that's him. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. And then I'm like, oh, another classic Marvel move where it's like, here's an amazing actor and we're going to waste him on this random character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're going to see again. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, we're going to use Mads Mikkelsen on this Doctor Strange villain that nobody knows or cares about. And then you will never see him ever again.
Done. That's out. Yeah, exactly.
We don't even make him. We don't even make him the voice of Dormammu, so he can show up later as that.
No. The voice of Dormammu is nothing. Yeah. It's just, but yeah.
Yeah,
so I'm hyped.
Yeah,
I'm happy to hear that. You know, I'll take that non spoiler tease that like the next two that this is your least favorite episode because I loved it.
Yes,
and
that's the other thing is I do think this is very specifically a love letter to Marvel fans in general and MCU fans in particular. I don't know that there's anybody on the planet now that is not at least vaguely aware of this stuff.
Right.
But if you are, I wonder what it would be like. I wonder if you need the almost encyclopedic knowledge of stuff. I think with this one, it benefits having a pretty good understanding of like Captain America, the First Avenger.
Totally.
I think other ones, you don't need that because again, they tell more self-contained stories. But the more invested you are in those things, there's so many little Easter eggs, so many little things that I think it really enriches the experience. So without getting into spoilers, very, very light stuff. Episode two is the T'Challa episode as Star-Lord.
Cool.
So immediately you have the emotional, and it's like, when I was watching, I'm like, am I going to cry? And then the end, I'm like, son of a bitch, I'm crying.
Oh.
And I, it, it tells a self-contained story, and it's such a good job of saying, like, hey, here's what changed, here's how the world works, and here's how it impacted all of those things.
Yeah.
With telling a self-contained story, and it's lovely. It's a space heist movie. If I'm being honest, it's kind of what I wish the Guardians movies were more like. That one episode, and I don't want to overhype it for people, but it might be one of my favorite things that Marvel has ever done, period. Like, it's just one of those, like, oh, this is, I love this, I'm going to revisit this episode. I like it a lot. Jaimon Hansu, it's obviously Chadwick Boseman is in it. Jaimon Hansu shows up, and I actually give a shit about Korath now.
Wow.
I actually give a shit about Korath, and it makes me think of, like, yeah, man, so many movies fucking waste Jaimon Hansu. He's so fucking good, and we always kill that poor guy off. When no matter what he shows up in, the son of a bitch, they kill him off, and he's so good. Why do we keep killing him off?
You know, he auditioned, or he championed to play Black Panther like 25 years ago.
He would have been great.
I know.
He would have been so good. But
he would have been such a great Black Panther.
I left that episode with one of my thoughts being like, I want more Korath now. Like, what is Korath up to? Can we get more of him?
That's good to know.
And Michael Rooker shows up. And so that is T'Challa as Star-Lord. I won't even tell you what the premise of episode 3 is, but it is completely away from, like, what if this character is this character? it focuses on Samuel Jackson as Nick Fury. It utilizes that character really well. And deep cut. It basically is a what if surrounding around Nick Fury's big week, which, for those of you that might not be aware, the early on they established that Iron Man 2, Incredible Hulk, and Thor all take place in the same week.
Gotcha.
And so, okay, like, that's deep cut MCU continuity, and this is a what if surrounded around that week. Like, it's structured around that week and events that like, what if something happened? And it's great. The T'Challa episode is my favorite. The third episode was like, oh my God, you can do anything with this premise. And nice. And they are willing to do anything with this premise. And that's amazing. Like, that's what makes it so exciting, because as much as I think I've actually been more excited about Marvel Phase 4 than any previous phase, because it does kind of feel like all bets anything are goes. Off. Like, Chris Evans is not around as Steve Rogers. Like, Robert Downey Jr. is not around as Iron Man. And so now we've got Sam Wilson as Cap, and we've got a Shang-Chi movie, and we've got, like, it just feels like obviously there's basis on stuff in the comics, but you can kind of do anything, and they kind of are. Like, they're kind of like Loki and whatever that, and so it's so exciting. And what if is because each one takes an alternate universe, they don't need to adhere to anything really, other than, like you said, the important part is the key characterization. Nick Fury behaves like Nick Fury. Steve Rogers behaves like Steve Rogers, except in these varied situations. So I literally cannot wait for more people to see these episodes, because I'm so excited with the way they use continuity, the way they used key characters from different movies, the way they twist stuff. And I'm much more excited to see where we go from here, because it really does, like, again, we knew about the Captain Carter one, we knew about the T'Challa Star-Lord one. I didn't know about the premise of episode 3, and I don't even know how many episodes we're getting. I should find out. But it just makes me feel like,
I think it's a lot more than we thought. Like,
yeah, like, it's not like the other ones where it's like 4. And it just makes me think, like, and again, the way they utilize animation for their action sequences, I do think,
9.
Is it 9?
I think it's 9 episodes.
That's great, because it's like, I know we're getting Marvel Zombies, which I'm very excited to see where that goes.
Yes.
And there's just a lot of potential, and I think I'm just so, oh my God. Oh, it said 18, but that's because we've already confirmed for a second season.
Oh, okay.
I was like, well, son of a gun. So I think you're right. I think 9.
In.
Yeah, definitely strap in. Just super excited to talk about all that stuff with everybody. Yeah. But we also have some questions from you all. We answered quick wits. Does the show go further than simply switching out characters in certain situations? It absolutely does. And I'm very excited for that. Finyo, it seems like the show's characters are all in the same universe and will connect to each other. If that is correct, would you have preferred each episode being a different What If and being completely standalone instead? I think what he's referring to is there is a shot in the trailer where it's like all the different What If people are standing next to each other.
Yes.
Each one is a 100% different world, could not exist within the context of the other ones. However, I do think I like your suggestion of like, let's hold on to the Watcher getting involved. I think he's going to start.
I think you're absolutely right.
pulling shenanigans before the end of the series.
No. Because then you're like, the audience is like, man, this Watcher guy, he's never going to get involved. What a jerk. And then you finally watch Fantastic Four. You're losing your mind. Galactus is coming. That's all Hulk has lost. And then friggin' Watcher shows up and he interferes. You're like, yay. That could finally be a stand out of your chair clap moment. Now it's like he's Tempest Fuguenot collecting his Justice League characters.
Yep. And then STS 2084, any character who got underserved in the movies that you want to show to take a crack at. So let me broaden that question. So what would you like to see? All bets are off. We can do whatever the heck we want and What If.
Yeah.
What would you like to see?
I mean, I would love to see them use things they're planning on using. You know, like...
Yeah.
I would love to see Fantastic Four, because I remember there's one where it's like, what if the Avengers fought Galactus instead of the Fantastic Four?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh man, that's a hell of a premise. And it's a not classic What If, but it exists. And it's one of those things where it's like, what if, because the Fantastic Four were the first family of Marvel, yes. The Avengers come later, and it's like, and they're informed by it. So it's like, wouldn't it be cool to see how the Marvel universe would have been shaped if the Avengers were not the first team?
Yes.
Or even if that was the premise, I'll take that as a basic premise where it's like, what if there was another team that predated the Avengers? Or, you know, like maybe this is more of a meta what if, but like, what if Marvel kept the rights to all the characters before and they launched what would have obviously been their street level characters first? Like it would have been a Spider-Man, a Daredevil,
yes.
An X-Men, and just the Avengers would have come much later.
Yeah. What if I'm actually way into the meta what ifs. Like I'd like to see, you know, as much as I kind of wasn't a fan of the clip show nature of the Captain Carter, it's like do that, but right. With Incredible Hulk, but with Mark Ruffalo as Incredible Hulk. Like what would the Incredible Hulk instead of Edward Norton, if it was Mike Ruffalo in that role? Give me that what
if. He would have been really good. And I think, the movie would have been very different because there's no way Ed Norton didn't rewrite that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's what he does.
Yeah.
And yeah, that would have been really nice. Hell, I'm, you know, we're so close to technology where Disney's just like, we're just going to deepfake
Mark Ruffalo in that movie. The other one is like, okay, so going back to your thing, what if Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, Ben Affleck's Daredevil,
oh my God.
And I'm blanking on the Punisher. Why am I blanking on
Tom Jane?
Tom Jane's Punisher.
Dude, have you seen this? Have you seen the end of Spider-Man 2 when Mary Jane is running through the park?
Yeah, and it looks like that guy that looks like Thomas Jane.
That looks like Frank Castle. Yeah. I think it's Tom Jane's stunt double from the Punisher movie.
I can't remember. I remember looking that up, and I can't remember if somebody debunked that or if that was if it was intended or not intended. But
right?
Hey, let's make it or like I like the idea, and I think we would need to wait on it for them to introduce their Fantastic Four, but I do think they should 100% do of like, what if the Fantastic Four fought Thanos?
Yes.
In Endgame. Like, what if it was a or the X-Men, Fantastic Four and the X-Men. And speaking on that, I'd actually like to, because of the shows that we've gotten so far, at least the live action ones, Captain America, or excuse me, Falcon and Winter Soldier is my favorite, hands down my favorite. And and I think they did a great job selling me on the idea of Sam Wilson as Cap, and I'm excited to see him as Cap in the future.
Easily, yeah.
Wouldn't mind some tweaks to the costume. But
you know, yeah. I on one hand, that's one of those things where it's like, shut me up. That's the comic book costume in real life.
But that's my point. You did
but it's
it.
A little bright.
You did it. You did the comic book costume. Good. It's done.
Right.
Yeah, let's make it. Let's just tweak it a little bit. Because I think my problem is... For me, and I get it. Listen, if you had wings as part of your system, and now you get a shield, you're not going to ditch the wings. Except in my mind, that's not Captain America. That's the Falcon with Captain America's shield. Like I want to see Sam Wilson as Captain America, and it's just like if you had Spider-Man in his Iron Spider costume, you're like, that's Iron Man. It's like that's Spider-Man in an Iron Man suit is what that is. Is
that's fair.
And
yeah.
So I think for me, if they ask me, I'd give him a more, maybe keep some parts of the color scheme, but like make him give him the because we finally nailed the Cap helmet for Chris Evans by Endgame. We give him the Cap helmet, you know, we give him something like that. And then you have, you basically upgrade Red Wing to be his wings. And so like the wings will drop him off and then fly away and he's Captain America. But it's like, oh no, that villain's flying away. Red Wing comes up, latches on his back, and now he has the wings. So that's, it's like cool. A best of both worlds. But like when he's on the ground fighting, it's like, hey, it's Captain America.
Right.
Whatever. That's me being nitpicky. But sold on Sam Wilson as Cap. However, who is my favorite Captain America? Bucky Barnes. Oh. What if it? Do a what if of what if Bucky become Cap instead of Sam Wilson? Now I get to see what the MCU would have done with that costume, because I really like the, was Alex Ross designed Bucky's costume. I'd love to see the MCU version of that. You do a 20-minute episode of that thing. It's like, cool. That's all. I just wanted to know what it would have been like, and now we can just go back to Sam Wilson being Captain America.
Exactly. Now that's fine with me.
Yeah. So there's, I think that's some really, oh man, what else could we, like, what if Captain Marvel had never left Earth? I don't know.
Right.
Seriously, it's literally anything.
Now, if you have access to Spider-Man, you know, the sky's the limit with that, where it's like, what if Spider-Man joined the fight in the Avengers? Like, what if, because he technically should be there. I know that, like, wait, you said, Sony says 8 years ago, but
A second. That's a good point, because obviously Spider-Man has been featured. Spider-Man in the cape and the Doctor Strange cape.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The trailers and stuff like that. Spider-Man's going to be a part of this,
right?
And that is weird, because obviously the Sony of it. And I wonder if what if falls under the rules of, like, because for a while now
TV,
they can do whatever they want with animated Spider-Man, which really, by the way, screwed over Spectacular Spider-Man, which was fantastic.
I'm just waiting for that. You know, Josh Keaton played Cap, or played Steve in this show.
He did.
So. Someone's paying attention.
What if
he's terrific?
We never canceled Spectacular Spider-Man because it was fucking great. Anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering now, if could you do an in continuity Spider-Man animated series?
Oh my God.
Is that like, does that break the rules? Could they do
A Disney Plus MCU Spider-Man show that introduces characters that you're like not going to use in the movies, or that you could use in the movies, and you cast somebody fun because you're only going to make like 8 episodes.
Yeah. Cause, oh my God. Cause I think, like, obviously, listen, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man movie is the first movie I like fell in love with. Like, just,
that's fair.
Blew my mind as a kid.
Yep.
And so I have a deep love for that character. And I think Tom Holland is great in the role, and MCU's done a lot of fun stuff, but I can't help but feel like Spider-Man especially benefits from like a more serialized approach. Like, just, again, he's got so many rogues, and especially if we're dedicated to this idea of like every MCU Spider-Man movie, he's got to be sharing the bill with some MCU character.
Yes.
And it's like, yeah, but I get, and we've got to see him in locations he's never been in before. And it's like, I get the impulse.
Yeah.
But I'd also kind of like to just see Tom Holland just be Spider-Man, like just do the Spider-Man thing and like be broke and like have Aunt May give him like good advice, or like, or just generally be around and
be in the movie.
Yeah, be that, because it is hard. It is hard, as enjoyable as the MCU Spider-Man movies are. It's hard going back to like the Tobey Maguire ones and see how like this, those scenes where like Rosemary Harris's Aunt May like really anchors the entire movie, and you're like, oh yeah, fucking Peter Parker's not shit without May,
right?
And then you go to like the new ones, and Marissa Tomei is such a great actress, and like, oh wow, she's hot, and it's like, that is true.
Yes, I agree with you, but also she can act. Yeah. She would be delivering some really stellar, like, ultimate Aunt May stuff,
and it'd be great. And then you get the added bonus of seeing him hang out with Iron Man and Doctor Strange, which we all want, but I want it to be Spider-Man. And so maybe like if we had an in continuity animated series.
Yep.
And then
we could have both.
Tom Hardy's Venom showing up. I don't fucking know.
I mean, who knows?
Well, I also wonder, so listen, we're talking about the multiverse, we're talking about all that stuff. We've got a Venom movie coming down the pipe.
Yep.
When is Morbius supposed to happen? Wasn't it supposed to come out before Venom?
I think that's November or something. I don't know.
Ugh, who cares? Anyway.
I'm not excited. January, where they where the studios dump their garbage. January 21st.
Oh man, what the hell? But and they went out of their way to show that Vulture was in that movie.
Oh my God.
Okay, so we're coming out of Loki. You're a perfect person to talk about this. We're coming out of Loki, which, you know, The MCU was like multiverse, multiverse, multiverse. Then Loki shows up, no multiverse. And then the end of Loki, it was just like, actually, yes, multiverse. And he was like, yay, thank you for the multiverse. It's like, well, they're the ones that took it away. So multiverse, Loki's all about the multiverse variants, all that jazz. We've got What If now.
Yep.
What are we doing? What's Marvel's deal with like Sony? Are we trying to say that's are Morbius and Venom are multiverse? What do you think their game plan is with all this multiverse stuff? We're going big on multiverse.
Yeah.
What's the game plan here?
I'm a little worried that there isn't one. Like, I'm really worried that where Marvel's concerned, where Disney Marvel is concerned, they're like, we don't care about what Sony's doing. Like, Sony can do whatever Sony does, and we're just not gonna, we don't plan around it. We didn't even plan around our own shows.
Yeah, the Defenders, like, and Agents
of Shield. The Agents of Shield. Like, we don't plan around that, and we owned that.
Yeah.
So we're not gonna plan around what Sony's doing. And meanwhile, Sony, by and large, only comes up with terrible ideas. So for them, I don't trust their roadmap or plans. Like, you know, they're like, we got a plan. And it's like, well, is Avi Arad in charge of that plan? Because if it is, then I don't want to hear it. And it is, and he is, and it is. So no, you know, and so, and I can imagine that Sony's plan is like whatever plans they had originally, you know, like Sinister Six, Aunt May, a Secret Agent, J. Jonah Jameson, the solo movie, you know, like I'm sure that those movies are still in their mind.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that like for them, a Sinister Six will be practically multiversal, where it's like, well, obviously the Sinister Six is going to be Morbius and Vulture and Mysterio, and oh, we need like three more, Dr. Octopus from Spider-Man 2, Electro from Amazing Spider-Man, and one more, whatever, Green Goblin, I don't know. And then, you know, they'll just go for it. So when it comes to like MCU Spider-Man, they're more like, well, we're happy to have him, and we're happy to put him in MCU properties and projects that propel the MCU. But like Feige and Marvel, I think, are not concerned with like giving us a Peter Parker story, with like giving us like that last sequence from Far From Home where he is in New York and just being Spider-Man. And I'm like, this is what I want for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't think they're interested in giving us that. I think they're more like, well, we're only interested in using Spider-Man as a gateway to get more people who normally wouldn't watch an MCU movie, which is hard to believe, to watch more MCU movies. And I'm like, that's not enough.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that's a really interesting perspective, because it's hard for me to imagine somebody being in charge of Marvel and not being all on the Spider-Man train. But it makes sense when he's the one character you don't have carte blanche to do whatever you want with.
Yeah,
it's business wise, it makes sense. As somebody who loves the character and loves what the character represents, it's interesting too, because a lot of like what Spider-Man, what attracted me about that character has been kind of taken up by characters like Sam Wilson, where it's like, oh, you're just a dude. You can't get a bank loan. Like, that's your dude. You're like, you're not fucking. You're not like a super soldier with a blank check from the government. You're not Tony Stark. Like, you've got problems that you need to deal with. Which is also kind of the hope of like if they ever do something again with Daredevil or anything like that. But I do think based on their track record with the Defenders shows of like, we're not, if Kevin Feige's not signing off on it, it doesn't matter.
And that's that.
It does not matter.
Yeah.
I'm sure Sony's looking at like Suicide Squad and being like, we do that with Sinister Six, but like it's my same problem with, I love Venom. Venom, I am a kid from, I grew up in the 90s, so Venom's like my jam. Whenever anybody that grew up in the 70s or 60s like, Venom sucks, it's like, listen, Dr. Octopus sucked for decades and then he became cool, so fucking cool down, all right? No villain starts off great out of the gate, okay?
Right.
You have to have those decades of whatever. Huge fan of Venom, but I think for me, what makes Venom work as a character is in contrast with Spider-Man. Like,
yes.
For me, what makes Carnage cooler than something like a Doomsday, right? It just being a super big bad guy. Because Carnage exists so that Spider-Man and Venom have to team up. That's why I care about him.
That's the only reason he's there.
Yeah.
So that Spider-Man and Venom have a reason to team up.
And then do Maximum Carnage so that a bunch of people have to team up to do. And if they were building up to something like that, like that's the one thing. If Sony had a Sinister Six.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, so Marvel's not going to let us use any of their characters for our movie. So instead of like hanging out with like Captain America and Cloak and Dagger, Spider-Man has to team up with his rogues gallery to fight Carnage. I'm kind of on board with that.
That's like, kind of cool.
Yeah. But it's like when you, for one, like a lot of like Carnage's bit was taken by Riot and Venom 1.
Yeah.
And so it's like when I see these trailers, like I like Woody Harrelson. I like Tom Hardy's take on Venom.
Sure.
I want to be more excited for this movie than I am.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool that we're fine. I'm glad we didn't waste Carnage, like trying to make a movie with Carnage, because you know that the folks who were in charge of Spider-Man from the mid 90s until today have been trying to make, like, the fact that Venom's in Spider-Man 3 is just a testament to the fact that, like, there are folks who have just been trying to make Venom into a movie forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he wasn't ready. Like, it just, the technology wasn't there. The character wasn't, like, beloved, or at the very least, like, the studio wasn't capable of making a movie that actually was able to deliver Venom.
Yeah.
And now we're here where you can have Carnage, and it's made by a studio that won't sanitize it. So Carnage is going to kill people. Yeah. Like, he absolutely should. Like the Spider-Man 90s cartoon where Spider-Man or where Carnage teams up with Dormammu and like he teleports them or something, you know, there's no reason for Carnage to be in the show because he just isn't Carnage anymore. Yeah. With this, you finally get, and he looks good.
Yeah.
He can actually do all the things that Bagley wanted to draw.
Yeah.
And that's really awesome. But divorced from Spider-Man, he's just a big, scary alien.
Yeah. And we already had a big, scary alien in the last movie that he fought.
Yeah, who looked just like Venom. Yeah, it's pretty lame.
Yeah, and so it's like, I, you know what? It might be like the first Venom, because the first Venom kind of surprised me with being, not that it's good, but it's entertaining. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
And you talk about the things we're able to do now. That is the other kind of a bummer, is that where did Spider-Man get the black costume? He got in a big crossover event where he's fighting aliens. And we just had a movie where Spider-Man was in a big crossover event fighting aliens. It's like, this was our time. We could have done it.
Suit could have been on Titan. He could have brought it home.
It could have been on that ship instead of him being in the Iron Spider suit. It was the black suit, whatever.
Yes.
It's the same thing. I'm a little bit worried that Fox went to the Dark Phoenix saga well too many times for Marvel to want to touch on it. But it's like, it could be a crossover with the Guardians. Did we talk about this last time when I was on your show?
I don't know. Yeah.
But it's one of those.
I would love to see that though.
You have the Guardians, you have the cosmic stuff. If you have the X-Men, you were actually in a position where you could actually you could do it as a Disney Plus series.
Yeah.
And it'd be cool. It'd be so fucking cool.
I think there's no way Disney / Marvel / Feige are not thinking about Secret Wars. I think Secret Wars is their next end game, and they're thinking like $4 billion. Like, I genuinely feel like Secret Wars is going to be like end game squared, where no. You know that moment where everybody's there? It's going to be everybody plus Fantastic Four, X-Men. And like, we're going to resurrect Iron Man and Captain America.
Absolutely.
Like, they're going to be pulled from time.
Or multiverse, whatever. Like, we're laying the groundwork. I think you're 100% right. I mean, if I were them, I'd be like another 10 years from now. But like, but like, I think you're one, especially with all the multiverse stuff, I think that is the next thing. Secret Wars, probably more along the lines of the Jonathan Hickman one than the original. But yeah, we're going to pull back.
I don't know. I think they like the old one.
I am too. Well, for one thing, the simplicity of it. Like, what if we got all the good guys and they fought all the bad guys? As a kid, you're
just
like
an action figure commercial.
Yeah, way on board with all
that's
that.
Okay.
Yeah,
that book still sells.
Yeah,
like you gotta explain Secret Wars 2015. Secret Wars 84. No.
Yeah,
you got it.
But if for no other reason other than the fact that that's because think about how many people show up. We're like, wait, after 10 years, Chris Evans is back as Cap. After 10 years, Robert Downey Jr. is back as Iron Man. Like,
everyone's coming back.
Yeah, everyone's gonna show up for that event, and it doesn't matter. I mean, if we're not all road warring it over like a post-apocalyptic United States, we're all gonna show up for that movie. So it'll be interesting to. And I also wonder, a lot of people are like, Kang is the next Thanos. Kang is
big bad
like,
guy.
I don't know that. That's I don't know if they're interested in like introducing the next Thanos.
No,
yet
I'm not.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Kang is, I didn't like Kang until he was on Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes, that cartoon, which is the spectacular Spider-Man of Marvel cartoons.
Yeah, that for those that have not watched it, it's on Disney Plus. It is very good. Their version of Kang is really it is very. I think other than Spectacular Spider-Man, it is the closest Marvel has gotten to the Bruce Timm, Paul Dini DC verse, where it's like every choice is the strongest choice for that character.
Yes, it is. It is the Justice League Unlimited of Marvel.
Yes,
and. By the way, original Spectacular Spider-Man, Josh Keaton played the voice of Spider-Man when he shows up, and then they dubbed over it with The Untouchable. And now, hey, Disney.
Bring back Josh Keaton, because I don't know about you, but when I first heard that, it's like, yeah, but now I get to imagine that everything worked out for Spectacular Spider-Man. Peter Parker, he's an Avenger.
I know. So, you know, yeah. But I feel like, as far as big bads go, you can't get bigger than Galactus, and I think that's got to be their plan, but it's not even like a – it doesn't even have to be a plan. It's just dope, you know?
Yeah, Galactus, or again, we're talking about Secret Wars, Phoenix, setting up the Beyonder.
Beyonder would be great.
I know there was talk about having like Michael Korvac show up Captain Marvel, and it's like, well, then you can just make Michael Korvac your Beyonder, because like, Beyonder is just a dude. So you could just decide, like, yeah, Michael Korvac's the Beyonder now. We're kind of like melding them together, because nobody
That's
really
a Marvel
knows
thing
who the
to do anyway.
Yeah, who knows who the fuck Michael Korvac is, like,
that's the thing is that takes a lot of work, so don't bother. Like, you could maybe explain Michael Korvac in a Guardians 3, because people have already given you enough like leeway.
So,
but even then,
you've seen Suicide Squad.
Yeah,
yeah. What do we think? What do you think we're in for Guardians 3?
I mean, it's not going to be like the Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad was a blank check for James Gunn, where DC's like, do whatever you want, no restrictions. Whereas Disney's like, they're going to be in an interesting state. Well, I'll bet it's the most James Gunnian Marvel movie you'll ever see.
Yeah.
But it won't be quite as James Gunnian as the Suicide Squad, where Disney's going to be like, we're going to give you fewer notes than we would, because as an apology, but don't think you're going to get to make, you know, any of your trauma movies. Okay. Yeah. We're doing Guardians. It's the franchise. This is Lunchbox is your people.
Yeah.
So I imagine it'll be fun, and it'll raise the stakes. I'll bet we'll see more deaths, because I know like he's leaving. I know that people are getting out of their contracts. So we're probably going to lose a bunch of the Guardians anyway. Maybe we'll get some Star Jammers. I mean, the fact that it's all available now.
Yeah.
We might get more deep cuts. It really depends on whether he likes those characters. Like, we could see references to Galactus, the Phoenix, the Beyonders, Doctor Doom. Like, we can get everything.
Damn.
It's just a question of, it's the limitations of what Gunn wants to do and what Disney will let him do, as opposed to where DC, it's like, well, I'm excited to see what DC lets Gunn do after Guardians 3, because he gets to do whatever he wants. And DC is like, well, it was a success. Giving you a blank check was a good idea. Yeah. So we're going to do that again.
I do worry about, because all the headlines have been like, oh, Suicide Squad didn't make nearly enough money. It's like, yeah, we're in a pandemic.
Really?
Are you all taking this serious? We're in a pandemic. What are you talking about? How well did it do on HBO Max?
Right? And no. And here's the thing. They kept all of it. There was no split with theaters for them. Yeah. So, yeah, no, it did better than ever, I'm sure. I mean, I'll bet it didn't make as much as Suicide Squad 2016, because I think that movie made like $780 million last time worldwide.
Yeah.
But you can't, those days are over.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, they're not coming back for a while. Like, maybe when Secret Wars comes out, we can get back to like $2 billion movies. Yeah. But like, those days are not coming back for a long time.
Again, as long as we're all not on the Fury Road, we're...
yeah. yeah, then we'll go see movies again.
But
not until I guarantee that it's safe.
Yeah.
And I can't, so I'm not. So I'll be happily Disney Plusing and HBO Maxing until Judgment Day.
So maybe sooner than we think.
I hope.
We hope. We're all rooting for it.
Yeah, because I really want to get it. I got so much gasoline.
Yeah, we're all rooting for Judgment Day. So before we wrap up, I do want to say, like, as we talk about the future and stuff like that, as exciting as this season is of What If, it does get me even more excited once we introduce X-Men, once we introduce Fantastic Four. Like you could do stuff like going meta again. Like, what if the Netflix Defenders were in continuity? What if we actually cared about those?
I would love to see that, please.
So just exciting stuff down the line. But before we wrap up, remind the kids at home, any final thoughts? And two, where can the kids find you? What are you up to?
Thank you, sir. Final thoughts. I love the pacing of this episode, despite how frenetic and quick it was, but I'm still on board. Loved it. I'm looking forward to more. I'm very jealous of your ability to watch the other two. I got to wait a week. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, hyped. If you want to see more of me or hear more of me, you can always catch me on youtube.com/comicpop or Comic Pop Returns. And of course, here on wherever you're listening, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever, we have shows called Elseworlds Exchange and Off the Rack, which you can listen to pretty much weekly. And those are reviews or discussions, depending on which title you're listening to. But just listen to it all, because you get it all.
Yeah, trust why not? Why not? What else are you doing? You're probably still back in your home. Go listen to all the things.
Exactly. You have nothing else. Yeah, trust me. This is better. This is a better use of your time.
Yes. So please, please, please go check all that out. Go support that. You can find this show everywhere that matters at Only Stupid Answers, but on Twitter you're going to want to yank the vowels out of stupid, and you can find me at DJ Talks Trash. And again, if you missed my comic when it was on Kickstarter, you can pre-order it by going to hellbentcomicbook.com and clicking the pre-order now button. Thank you all for joining us. We will be back next week doing other things and talking about different stuff with different people. So stay tuned for all that, and we will see you then. Bye, everybody.